There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you all along. Another couple hours of live local talk. You know how you get through to the show on the Ascension Technologies text line at 343-0106. Also, same digits, good for a phone call, 343-0106. And you can leave us one of those talkback messages when you use the FM Talk 106.5 app. If you're looking at the front page of that, down your choices there on the bottom in the middle, you'll see that microphone icon. If you'll press that, you can record a message and it emails it to the station, any of the shows, not just this one, and then they can play it back on the air if they see fit to do that. All right, lot to do on a Monday. We could, like I said at the end of Jeff's show, we could just sit here and give you like the what a lot of cable news is doing right now, that, okay, the motorcade is approaching the airport. Former President Trump is, okay, there's the plane. The plane's on the tarmac. He may be cleared for a departure to the east. And now in, you know, maybe we have like the Santa tracker thing on the plane. Watch as it approaches New York. We're going to talk about that some more, of course, in today's show. Also on the way, what happened? I know it's a shock to you. I did not watch the CMAs until this morning. Everybody said, did you see the CMA? So I went and watched some clips of what happened. That was something. It was interesting. So we'll delve into that some in hour number two of the show. And leadoff batter today. And I was gonna start off with this. And you know, I will ask our friend Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal this question as we get started. Is this like, former President Trump is facing indictment. I mean, getting arrested, possibility of going to jail. I don't know where that stands. But is it just the bravado that is Trump here, or is it the fact that he's raising money in polls? I mean, even former President Trump would be worried about getting arrested.
You asking me?
Yeah. I mean, you think? I mean, it's like, I know there's a bravado to this, but like, it's a real thing, though. Yeah, you're getting, it's this witch hunt or justice or however you see it in your political stripes out there. But it's a real arrest.
Yeah, in general, I would say that people generally don't like to go to jail or get arrested. Yeah. I've tried to avoid arrest my entire life. So, but at the same time, there's a political reality here that he might well be aided politically, at least in the short term, by this, because I think a lot of people, there's certainly his fan base, right? His political base sees this as not just political hackery, but, you know, a conspiracy to bring him down and all this kind of stuff. So they're going to be nothing but more loyal to the guy. But even beyond just his base, I think a lot of people see this as a political prosecution, you know, in the way that, If his name was not Donald Trump, would this district attorney be going through all these legal hoops to prosecute somebody? The answer to that is obviously no. So I don't know. I mean, in some ways, I guess it shouldn't matter whether or not it helps him politically or not. You should just, or hurts him politically. You know, I think the one thing that bothers me about this, and look, I'm no Trump apologist. I think I'm pretty clear on that. But it just, if you're going to set a precedent here and have the first ever indictment of a former president.
That's right.
It better be some really it better be really airtight case. It better be a case that nobody can disagree with, nobody can poke holes in. And look, we don't know everything because the indictment's under seal, but
right.
nothing that we know about this points to that airtight, yes, of course, smoking gun case.
The first sitting or former U.S. president ever charged with a crime, and it comes at what, like you said, there may be parts of this that I haven't seen, you know, and I'll wait till tomorrow to find these things out. But from what has been leaked and what's out there, the smoke is out of the bottle now. I mean, this seems like a kind of a, until we hear anything else, it seems like the politicization of the legal system. Right. I mean, this is what happens in countries we point our fingers at and say, not look at that. Look at those bunch of rubes, you know?
Yeah. And look, notionally, I'm fine with a former president being charged. We don't have kings here. You know, we don't have titles of nobilities. He's not a monarch.
Right.
If he's committed a crime, I have no problem with holding people accountable like that. Former presidents.
But where's the level?
Fine.
Where's the benchmark, Todd? I mean, because if it's very low.
Right.
Then everything is going to be in play, and the Republicans will be in power, and it'll go after something small for a Democrat, and it'll be back and forth. I mean, this could be
absolutely,
and that's
once you do it, once one side does it, it sets up a permission structure for the other side to do the opposite, and you can bet on that. My thing is, look, is this hush money to a adult a porn star? Is that a bad thing? Yes, it's smarmy. It's horrible. Was it illegal? Probably, whether you talk about the statute of limitations, that they're sort of mm-hmm. using some legal hacks to kind of get around that, and it just seems I don't know. If you're going to prosecute a former president, if you're going to prosecute Donald Trump, it needs to be something that's airtight. It needs to be something that nobody can go and say. That's just political prosecution. So, yeah, I think who knows about the actual facts of the case, but it to me, it just seems like it's not there. It's not at the level, and which is a problem because people can pick it apart, and it's going to divide the country even further. And I think this guy probably is not doing it for the right reasons.
I'll agree with that. You talk about the politics of this. It has been, I mean, not that I'm saying something that nobody thought. We knew that there would be a bump here. I think I wrote in my show notes today, I call it a post-indictment bump for former President Trump. But that plays out that Yahoo News YouGov poll. I mean, listen to this, y'all, and I get Todd's reaction.
Yeah.
It's a man that knows something about polls. So in the previous one, which was like 2 weeks ago, they had Trump at 47% and DeSantis at 39%. I mean, they were, 8 percentage points between a head-to-head matchup between them, okay? So, and then it said as recently as February, it was DeSantis who narrowly was ahead of Trump, 45-41%. But just 2 weeks ago, it was 47-39. New post-indictment poll now has Trump at 57%. To DeSantis' 31%, a swing of 26 percentage points between them. I mean, if that is, so we're not comparing. These are the same poll, the same question, 2 weeks apart, and that is a swing that's got to open your eyes to something here.
Absolutely, and if you think about it, it makes sense because so much of Trump's appeal from the very beginning, from the escalator ride, and you could argue even before that, the appeal that he's had. Is to the aggrieved, those who feel marginalized by the political system, and to kind of be their voice. And whether you go along that or not, I think that's a pretty good assessment of how he has built a political base. Well, what's more aggrieving than getting arrested, than that system that you've been railing against coming after you with the law? So it's almost like this self-fulfilling prophecy. So of course, I mean, it's like it's nothing but catnip for his supporters. And so I don't think that bump's going to necessarily last. But I was not surprised to see it. It's just built for that. So there is the sort of the short term which is just kind of ridiculous that our cable news stations are treating this like OJ.
Yep, yep.
But, you know, good. I'm so glad I don't watch cable news anymore. But, you know, so there's going to be a short term. It's going to be the TikTok of everything that happens. Longer term is harder to predict because there may be things that come out in this case that are finally made public and really are smarmy and not good for the former president. And then, again, just having having problems with the law is a problem in general, just because, you know, it tends to be exhausting for people. It's like, ah, are we really going to go through this again? So I think short term it's going to be really helpful for Trump. Longer term is hard to predict, and it could have some negative impacts.
One last on this, and then we'll switch to news from our state here in Alabama. But I think it's interesting, too. Not only, you know, I see this uptick here for in the polling and the voters rallying around former President Trump, but it's interesting what this does to the field outside of, I mean, obviously Ron DeSantis, but others who have to maybe not pledge fealty, but they have to rally around him, right? I mean, you're the people who might be running against him in the primary, other Republicans, but you got to come, you know, salute and you know, say the right things here if you want to get votes down the road, too. So it's kind of a weird thing that your possible challengers coming up in a primary are going to have to come to your aid in the meantime.
Yeah, I mean, at least that's what they appear to think, that's what the voters want, right? So
yep,
they've all done it pretty much. And not to say nothing of all the congressmen and all that kind of stuff. But that kind of goes to the previous point, though. This district attorney has made that easy. There could have been, you know, like these Georgia election charges that, frankly, I think are pretty a lot more serious.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these other, there could be all manner of things that he could have been charged with, but because it's what this is, because of these legal hoops they've jumped through, this district attorney has made it easy for Republicans, kind of given them no choice but to say things like that, right? Whereas if it were a different case, that may not happen. So again, I'm sure that he is pleasing his political base, and you know, I know that this has sort of been in motion for a while, but to me, it does nothing but harm the political system. But you know, again, we're a little premature not knowing what this unsealed indictment says.
All right, back here at home, and y'all, it's that time of the month when you know, folks like me and the wonky among us. So we're going to talk about how easy it is to get the regular email from Alabama Daily News. But Todd drops the inside Alabama politics, and it's a big deal for all of us when it comes out. There's so much to get to in here. We're going to be able to pick one of these, and I'm going to get people to go sign up and check it out for themselves. But the incentive bill discussion is obviously one that we've talked about a good bit on this station, kind of on the broader, the idealistic portion of it. But you get into the pragmatism on this too. Kind of where are we here on incentivizing businesses to come to Alabama? What's the legislature going to take up?
So, you know, our current incentive laws, namely the Alabama Jobs Act and the Growing Alabama Act, these are the Alabama Jobs Act is the law that we use to essentially grant tax credits to companies in order for them to come to Alabama. Think Airbus, think you know, Mazda, Toyota, all the car plants and everything, the big boys. I think Austell is another good example. Well, that statute, that law, is set to expire this year. They do that by design. They want to force the legislature to reauthorize them and update them, right? Because every 5 years, the economy changes, and so does the nature of recruiting. So that's going to, you know, they've got to, that's why they're taking it up this year, because they're set to expire in the summer. And so in doing it, they do want to update the laws. They want to make them more transparent. That's a big one. They want to lift the total cap on the amount the state can leverage at one time. It's currently around $300 million. They want to lift it to maybe $500 million or maybe even more. We'll see what the legislation says. And also allowing the state to pursue and create more mega sites. We're kind of running out of mega sites mm-hmm. where that can fit a major car plant or something like that. So we need to go and create some of these mega sites. So anyway, they're actually set to have a press conference this afternoon to unveil the particulars. I still have not seen draft legislation. I was talking with a person in the State House this morning about, hey, when are we going to see these bills? I think maybe in the next 24 hours or so, we're actually going to see legislation. But this is not going to be controversial. Matter of fact, I think it'll probably sail through the legislature. There are some small details areas of disagreement, but those aren't really serious, not enough to, hold up the bills. So I think you're going to see four different pieces of legislation between the House and the Senate, and it'll probably go pretty quickly.
All right. We're going to remind folks how to get your email. And while we're doing that, let's talk about if they are, like me and wonky and want that inside Alabama politics, how they go to that next level.
Yeah, well, maybe it's sort of a stair-step level. We get you hooked on the regular stuff, and mm-hmm. then you can become a paid member. But yes, so Alabama politicos will know that the Inside Alabama Politics has been around for almost 40 years. And so we bought it about 4 years ago to sort of fold it into Alabama Daily News as our premium subscription service. So yeah, most of our news is free. But for the paid subscribers, they get all the grainy details, the rumors, the rumblings, the insider talk from the State House. And so we had a new issue come out this Sunday. It's full of that kind of stuff. And if you want that, just go to aldailynews.com and click subscribe at the top. It's different than signing up for the email. It's a paid subscription for all that insider content.
All right. So you get signed up for the email. And then, if you realize that there's a granular level detail out there that you like I do, you can sign up for that. And then back to spring break is over and back to the in-session schedule for Capital Journal, right?
That's right. We're back on the air tonight. In fact, we're going to be talking about economic development with Greg Canfield. He's the Secretary of Commerce. So he's been writing these bills. He's been really involved in the details. So I'm eager to talk to him tonight. Back on the air at 10:30 each night. We cover the legislative session. So think about it, after your local news, turn it over to Alabama Public Television, and we'll get you caught up on the day.
Todd, as always, man, I appreciate our conversations, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, Sean, be good.
There he goes, Todd Stacy. And we're coming right back. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. I guess the jet's in the air now. I guess that's what's happening. All right.
Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's at 12:26. As I react to myself, slam dunked a couple of the Mason Hills Farm ribeyes the other night. Yes. Good. Tasty stuff. He's doing good work. We'll get Joey on the show soon. Talk more about what he did to change the game, to bring our meat local, right? I mean, remember through the pandemic, all the discussions we had about what was wrong and what the hang-ups were for getting steaks or any kind of beef from the store. Well, he solved that. All right, to the text line here. I'm going to get to a few of these before we go to the news, and we'll come back. And it's there's a whole bunch of them. Let's see. The Tim first up said, "Sean, I feel kind of sorry for this New York DA. I can't believe they talked him into falling on the sword. I think Trump's going to make him look like an idiot." Chad says, "Has everyone forgotten how after 1-6, everyone, at least CNN and MSNBC, said Trump would surely secretly preemptively pardon himself if he thought he did anything wrong in the Stormy Daniels thing? Wouldn't he have done that?" This, right, Chad, what I was starting off with saying, though, is I get the politics of it, and when we come back, we'll talk about those polls that YouGov poll, I mean, that shows a big swing for former President Trump over DeSantis, like in 2 weeks' time. It's still, though, he's getting arrested. I mean, it's not good. I mean, you could, yes, or the politics of it is going to, those things, it's going to increase fundraising, it's going to increase support, all those things are good, but you still have to get arrested, I guess. This texter here, unnamed texter, Donald J. Trump just got his street cred verified with his arrest. Is that the new thing you got to have to be a president? Like street cred? How many of the 12 juror indictments or 12 juror convictions will it take for you to admit that you constantly promote a criminal who happens to be an ex-president? I do, really? A name texter? I constantly promote a criminal who happens to be an ex-president. Okay, duly noted. I will write that down. I know I've been doing that constantly. I thought I did other things. But I guess that's the whole show. So here we go. I'll come back from the news and Dr. Bill's weather, and I will constantly promote a criminal. All right, 12:30. Be right back. Well, yeah, get on the text line and the phone line, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5. Show's called Midday Mobile. I'm glad you're along. We'll get to the Ascension Technologies text line in just a minute here. Do want to just talk about next hour a little bit, as we'll talk about what went down at the CMAs. And also, Dalton seems to be in the beer transfer portal. So we're going to address that as well, as he's looking for a new beer. He's abandoning the Bud Light now, and he's looking for a new beer. And I think as a crowdsource thing, we can all help. We can help. We're here for you. Dalton, just lean on us. All right, to the text line here, and named texter, why does Donald have an unfair disadvantage in New York? I know all the contractors he didn't pay and the condo buyers he took advantage of are rooting for him. This texture says, when you strike at a king, you must kill him. It's back to this. We'll see tomorrow. I mean, I'm like Todd and others. We gotta see the indictment. It's been sealed. So, I mean, you can make assumptions. It's all specifically what's come out about the Stormy Daniels thing. But maybe there's some part of it we don't know yet that you go, okay, that's why they led with it. But if there's nothing new when they unsealed the indictment, then I'm going to say they did this not because they thought they would win, but they thought they could keep this case with reminding folks about Stormy Daniels and use it as a political weapon. But it's politically, at least within Republican ranks, it's done nothing. But I mean, the general election, there's not Democrats that are going to be flocking to Trump. So, but within Republicans, it's really helping him. We'll get back into that poll here in a second. Tim says, wonder how many votes he can pull if he's able to get him some teardrops. Hey, listen, Tim, somebody will have photoshopped that by the time we go to the news break next time. And the merchandise, all the Trump mugshot merchandise that's out there. All right, this texter says, well, Sean, at least you're not promoting a criminal who happens to be a sitting president. Okay, that's right. Damn Yankee. Hello, Damn Yankee. Unnamed texter confirms you have a diverse audience. You have at least one whack job liberal. No, I got people from all. That's interesting to me. Like, if you've listened for a long time, and I know you have, Damn Yankee, that echo chamber is not my thing. It bores me. All right. This unnamed texter said, Sean, I think it's pretty impressive that a millionaire has had the FBI and the whole Democratic Party in his affairs for at least 6 years. And this is all they found was he paid some hush money to a porn star. Right. So that is what it looks like. I will just reserve a little bit of judgment on this till tomorrow when we have the indictment unsealed, because there may be something, right, that we don't yet know, because it's a high bar. It is a high bar on this. This is why the nature of this, this is the first time, right? The first time in the history of our republic that you have a sitting or former U.S. president charged with a crime. Right? If had something to get out the door before that, they said, hey, this is going to happen, and then they go ahead and leave office, Nixon. But this is the first time this has happened. So to me, the benchmark must be very high here to do that, because if not, it's going to go to this back and forth, it's banana republic kind of stuff. And I would caution, you know, Republicans or conservatives as well to keep this in mind, too, when looking at the man in the White House now, President Biden. If there's a big crime or something like that, that speculate and all that, then you go after it. But if it's something nuanced and something that might be might put all of us under the magnifying glass if we did something similar, if we weren't a former president, you still have to understand I don't want to let things go. I mean, obviously, equal justice. I'm a nerd for this stuff, but I do also realize there's a separate issue here for our country overall, long term, and I'm scared we've crossed the Rubicon on that. I think that's kind of where we are. Well, Mixter, were you listening at the beginning of the show? Mixter says on the text line, are they going to track Trump's plane like they track Santa Claus's sleigh? Great minds work alike, Mixter. That's the first thing I thought about too. I talked about it at the beginning. Do we have a Trump plane tracker, and everybody can do the picture inside picture? You know, on the TV screen. Like, you know, we're watching whatever, but there's the tracker going on. It'd be an opportunity. Maybe there's an app out there, or there's a Twitter feed or something we can follow, get tracking on the plane. I mean, the cable news networks have now gone to, like, full OJ mode on this. By the way, heads up to programming note. Senator Tuberville has a op-ed now in the Wall Street Journal. Came out, I think, is Saturday or Sunday. Maybe it was yesterday. And Senator Tuberville will be on at 8:30 tomorrow morning with Dan and Dalton during Mobile Morning. So put that little reminder in there. Tuberville at 8:30 right here at FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings. All right, let's go to this poll here. Because this is, to me, pretty interesting. This is the same polling entity, and it's in a period of 2 weeks. The Yahoo News YouGov survey. And we're getting into the politics of what I'm calling the indictment bump for former President Trump. It says here, in the previous Yahoo News YouGov survey, which was conducted less than 2 weeks ago, okay, and they were comparing in a head-to-head matchup. So this is without all the other RANs, and we'll get to them in a little bit. In a head-to-head matchup between Trump and DeSantis, just 2 weeks ago, Trump led 47% over DeSantis' 39%. Let me point out, too, that in February when they did this, it was actually DeSantis. Remember I was talking about this? Leading Trump 45% to 41%. But bringing it back to 2 weeks ago, Trump 47%, DeSantis 39%. So there's eight percentage points, right, between the two, which is, that's normal pacing in presidential cycles. But here's what's changed. It says, but the new post-indictment poll... Okay, so this is the same group, Yahoo News, YouGov survey. So same entity, same polling questions, all the same things, and only two weeks difference. It says in the post-indictment poll, now finds Trump lapping DeSantis by 26 percentage points. Yo, this is really big. Because it's not like, you know, it's Billy Bob's polling company over here and, you know, and Sean's polling company over there, and they kind of asked different questions, and it was spaced over. No, this is the same set of questions, same polling group, 2 weeks difference. That is huge, y'all. That is huge. Trump now 57% to DeSantis' 31%. So not only did Trump gain 10 and DeSantis lost essentially 10. And listen to this, former president even attracts majority support, okay, 52% from his 44% previously when pitted against the wider 10-candidate field of declared and potential GOP challengers, while DeSantis, in that same scenario, plummets down to 21%. And no one else cracks double digits in that. By the same token, a full 54% of Republicans and Republican leaners would now prefer Trump to be the GOP's 2024 presidential nominee rather than someone else, which was 33%, up from 51%. This is the survey of 1,089 U.S. adults conducted in the first 24 hours after the New York grand jury voted to indict Trump as news about the case continued to break and sink in. I mean, this is something. I mean, if you're in the DeSantis camp, you got to go, you got to be kidding me. And speaking of DeSantis and the others, this is a question I asked to Todd Stacey. What a What a political tool this is for Trump. Because not only are the voters and the supporters rallying around, and you're seeing shifts, right? You're seeing people go, well, I was kind of a DeSantis person, but they're not going to pull this crap with Trump. The other weaponization of this is that the people that may be those challengers we just talked about are going to have to rally around him, right? To have continued support. I mean, they're all going to be asked by the press and by the voters, do you defend what's happening? This indictment, where are you? And so the people that will be possibly up on a stage with him in a Republican primary are now led kicking or screaming or easily to the microphone to say their support for him. And one of those is Ron DeSantis, who's danced around it some, not used Trump's name and all that, but he's like, he's having to rally around and protect. By the way, too, the schedule for tomorrow, beyond the plane flight from Florida to New York today for Trump, tomorrow we'll have the indictment and arraignment, and then the Trump world has said he has a conference, press conference tomorrow, 7 o'clock our time, which I'm sure it will be everywhere. But Trump presser tomorrow at 7. So I guess, and Dalton and I were talking during the break, I guess he's going to, do the arrest, I guess get fingerprinted. Secret Service stand by? Because it's still obviously a detachment of Secret Service with Trump. Are they going to like stand by as the other officers come officially arrest him? But that is happening tomorrow, and then he flies back to Mar-a-Lago, and 7 o'clock tomorrow night, the Trump presser, so you may want to put that on your to-do list. All right, I mentioned the other RANs, too. In other words, the other people in the mix here. We have four declared candidates as of today, when Asa Hutchinson came in and just, set the world on fire. Obviously, Donald Trump, then Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, I think Ramaswamy, Vivek Ramaswamy, and now, as of today, former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson. And he is definitely he's going to be picking up the votes for the people that Republicans that just are never Trumpers, right? Haley and Ramaswamy will be probably picking up the maybe Trumpers, but I wonder if they're gone now. You know what I'm saying? Where they could build a coalition, like a Haley or a Ramaswamy or something. I wonder if that's not all erased. And of course, Ron DeSantis on the top of that list. He's not declared, but Ron is probably the closest. I mean, he is number two, but how far down? Then you have the possible deal. You have Mike Pence in the mix, Mike Pompeo, Chris Sununu, Tim Scott. These are people that are toying with the idea, there's a chance that Glenn Youngkin out of Virginia, Kristi Noem out of South Dakota, Liz Cheney. Oh, and I know I heard Dan and Dalton talk about this last week or the week before, whatever. John Bolton. John, I never found a war I didn't want to put American kids into, Bolton and his fantastic mustache. That's a possibility. If John Bolton declares, okay, and I don't do a lot of the bets. I make some ridiculous bets with Dalton. But if John Bolton gets in, my bet is he doesn't break 1%. Dalton, we'll write this down. John Bolton does not break 1% support in a Republican primary. Now, his mustache will pull 7 or 8%, but he himself just sub 1%. All right, we'll head to the text lines and the phone lines when we return here on Midday Mobile, 343-0106, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Hey, y'all. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's my man, Trey. If we're about to have our 14th birthday, not to get in the middle of your message here, Trey, but let me just say, because we're about to have the 14th anniversary, the birthday for FM Talk at the beginning of May, May 1st. And yes, if you asked that I launch the show on May Day, I did, because I'm a smart aleck. And so the high communist holidays when I chose to launch this radio station. But no, back to my man Trey, and a buddy of mine, Trey Bennett. So 1-800-GOT-JUNK, so they're 15 going in 16 years of getting junk to disappear in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Fantastic service. If you've got a situation where you got junk, whether in a storage unit or a carport or a garage or in the attic, or it's big stuff in the around the house, you just want it gone. You can make that happen. Instead of just going, well, I'm going to see if I can borrow so-and-so's truck and do that. Just get it done. Set the appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and the experience is great, because they're going to find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you, because they get it. You have a life. They set an appointment. They show up. You point at the stuff you want gone. They'll quote you a price right there on the spot. You say yes. They get to work and gone. Get it done. Get it out of your way. You're never going to get around to it, so get 1-800-GOT-JUNK to do it for you. Check them out once again online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone. The name is the number. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK for my buddy Trey. All right. I got distracted. We'll probably have to push some of the real stories to next hour, because Dalton walks through here and said, I was looking at police blotter, and there was a stabbing out at the grounds, and he said that, and he's looking at it, and I guess there's a music show, Spring Fling or something out there. And number one, I'm bummed out that I didn't know it was happening. But number two, I'm really scratching my head, because I guess the show was, and Dalton, I don't know if he was just a headliner or the whole show, but Dalton said there's a stabbing out there, the Spring Fling music show, and the artist he mentioned to me was, well, this guy.
Oh, I forgot the day.
Man, you did it again. Oh, no.
Now, you're hearing both Doug E. Fresh and Slick Rick, but I mean, if you're from back in the day, hip-hop fans like myself, I mean, Doug E. Fresh, the last thing I would have ever associated with Doug E. Fresh is violence. Maybe some lyrical violence, or maybe out breakdancing somebody, but whatever, punk kids, if you've shown up and you're stabbing people at a Doug E. Fresh show, you're ruining it for everybody. There's nothing in Doug E. Fresh's repertoire that brings up any idea of anybody stabbing anybody. So stop it. 6 minutes. 6 minutes. Dougie Fresh, you're on. All right. So back to the text line here. Here we go. Dirt Digger says Dalton needs to join Team Michelob Ultra, the Michelob Ultra team. Okay. So that's a vote on your, we'll talk about that later on, your beer transfer portal now that you're leaving Bud Light. Unnamed texter said they're setting a perfect trap for Donald Trump. They're wanting to get him on contempt of court charges when he talks about the case with a gag order on it. Well, that's an interesting spin on it. I think I can't say that's a no. Doesn't have Meta say it's not Santa. He's talking about the plane tracker. Not Santa. This is full on Auburn Jetgate. Yeah, you should have the tracking of, since all cable news is shut down to, like, you know, the Brady Bunch boxes of talking heads talking about the plane heading to New York. Unnamed texter here. Don't forget, while you're making a list of first times, he's the first ex-president to be impeached twice. That is correct. The mailman. Hey, mailman. Hey, Sean, this is the mailman. How many people have forgot that Trump was going through litigation and court proceedings when he was running for president and while he was president, and many people who care less about its legal wranglings. I'm not a Trump fan at all, but it is all a bad political move on the Democrat side from the House. Well, that, and I think what you're saying, mailman, is that showed up. I mean, that poll, and I can pop that up on the Twitter feed, but that poll is 2 weeks difference at a 26%. It was like 10% split between, I'll pull it back up here. It was a 10% split in the Yahoo News YouGov poll. It was a 10% split 2 weeks ago. Post-indictment, it is a 26% split. And once again, we're not talking about separate polling groups. We're not talking about, we're talking about the same polling group within 2 weeks. And you see that swing in it? That is very significant. Yeah, there it is. It is, as of 2 weeks ago, it was 47%. It was in a, you know, they do a head-to-head matchup where they say, okay, if it was these, the only two people in, who, how would you vote? And it was Trump and DeSantis. 2 weeks ago, it was Trump 47%, DeSantis 39%. Post-indictment, 57%, Trump 31% for DeSantis. And the interesting part of it, I had to talk about the politics of this too. Think about it. The voter support, the fundraising, all these things that are going with this. At the same time, you have his possible challengers, his declared challengers and possible challengers, having to, in a way, pledge fealty to the man they may be on the stage with in the primary. That's of interest for sure. Okay, come back to the text line here at 343-0106 in just minutes. News is coming up in just a minute. Then, also, Dalton joins me next hour. Beer transfer portal. This will be interesting.